KBPS on PRP, student radio for the city of Portland. Joe Anderson here, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Join me as we hear from students across the Portland Public School District, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland. For 100 years, KBPS has been the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station. This is KBPS on PRP.
Good morning, KBPS on PRP. Happy Saturday, May 27th. The biggest party in the City of Roses, officially underway. The Rose Festival kicked off last night with a big fireworks celebration. The Rose Festival City Fair, now open on Waterfront Park, downtown Portland. The Portland Rose Festival Art Show getting started on June 1st. The Starlight Run happening June 3rd. Starlight Parade also happening June 3rd in the evening. The Rose Festival Junior Parade happening June 7th. The 133rd Annual Spring Rose Show happening June 8th and 9th. That is the oldest Rose Show in the nation. Of course, how could we forget the Grand Floral Parade coming up June 10th and the Grand Floral Parade Float Showcase on June 10th and 11th, where you get to see the floats up close and personal. Got the Dragon Boat Races, one of my favorite events, happening June 10th and 11th. And one of the last events of Rose Festival is the Royal Rosarians Milk Carton Boat Races happening over at Westmoreland Park. That is on June 25th. To kick off this episode of KBPS on PRP and this year's 2023 Focus on Fun Portland Rose Festival, we have a very special interview with a longtime employee of the Portland Rose Festival, been with the organization for over 17 years, and now is finally saying goodbye to the Rose Festival. And the only place you'll hear this interview is right here on KBPS on PRP.
Okay, Richard Jarvis. My title is Public Relations Manager with the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, and I'm in my 17th year at the festival.
Rich, it's so great to see you, so great to chat with you, and always a pleasure. Of all the years that I have been working with Rose Festival through my positions here at KBPS, you've always been a delight, very helpful and supportive, and you shared some big news with us, and I wanted to, you know, kind of give you a moment in the spotlight because you were always so busy working behind the scenes and making all the magic happen, but rarely in the spotlight. So Rich, tell us kind of what your big news is.
Well, I guess it's big news. it's kind of like a sliding out sort of news, you know. I'm done with the festival now after the end of the season. I put in 17 really good years, and I looked up the word retirement, and it's something you don't really like to say the word when you get to that point. You know, it's more like transition. Yeah, but there was a meaning in there. Retirement, to settle a debt, and I feel like I have done that with the Rose Festival. The Rose Festival came into my life at a time when it was really critical for me personally and professionally. I went back to school after I'd met Marilyn Clint, who is the Rose Festival Chief Executive Officer now. And I went back to school, and she told me that when you get done with school, come and see me. I graduated in 2015, 2005. I'm a little undating myself, I guess. From Merrillhurst University in communications and public relations. And I went to see Marilyn, and she hired me as a temporary, which means I worked about 6 months out of the year and then found other work and then kept coming back. And pretty soon they put me on full time. And it's just been a heck of a ride. You know, they say that if you have a job that you love, you never work a day in your life. Well, I think probably on that calendar, I've worked about 3 hours in the last 17 years because it was a little hard to get started. You know, a little rough at the start. But it's just been a joy, and it's gone by so fast. It's a little hard to think about pulling away, to putting something behind you that you've worked so much on and developed. And there's a lot of positions here that I've taken on and sort of developed as I've gone through the years. And so it's kind of hard to let go. It's almost like, you know, it's your child. You don't want to say goodbye, you know. But I feel good about where I'm at. I've done a lot. I came into the Rose Festival literally when media was still working, you know, in newspaper print, and the internet was not a thing at that time. And since then, you know, the technology has just blown up so much, and there's just so much more reach that people can do outside of traditional media now with all of the social platforms that are available. And so it's time to move on, to take the festival to a new level, you know. And I was here at a transitionary time, and I'm really happy that I was able to be in this moment at this time. With my background in television, I spent 40 some years or more in television production, local broadcast, before I came over to the festival. And so it's been a great transition to live through, really. But you know, it's a good time for me to step aside now and let some new ideas and some new eyes and ears and brains come in and stimulate the festival into the new generation.
Yeah. Well, Rich, I teach radio broadcasting here at Benson now, and we have a whole kind of, we're developing this multimedia team of teachers and classes, and we just launched this new kind of program last year that we're calling Communication Design Academy, which mm-hmm. is now featuring video production and digital media and graphic design and photography, the whole kind of multimedia package. I'm just curious, you know, based on your experience in broadcasting and TV, and kind of touching on that just a second, I kind of want to ask, you have any advice for students that are kind of pursuing this field, or because I know as we start to work over the years that we've worked together, you've helped kind of coach some of my radio students on tips and pointers on good interviews when we're interviewing Rose Festival princesses. And we're starting to tiptoe into this kind of new video production partnership. Mm-hmm. What would be kind of from your broadcasting experience perspective, the advice or the things that you would tell current students, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, that's good because you're making me reflect a little bit. I did start on this literally in high school myself. I was what we called an AV nerd back then. That's when we were, you know, I was in the library hauling projectors around to the different rooms. That's when we had 16 millimeter projectors. We had opaque projectors, overhead projectors, slide projectors, all these different clunky things that are all in a computer now. But I used to haul those around from the library to different school rooms so that they could, you know, play their whatever films and media on. And then my librarian that I worked under was a very progressive lady, and she knew that we wanted to create stuff. So she got us involved in filmmaking project. And I actually made an 8mm clay animation film well before anybody heard of Will Vinton. And it was fun. It was, you know, under hot lights in a garage that my friend had, and the clay would melt all the way through the process. And so by the time we were done 10 hours later, it was not so much animation as puddles, you know, but, That was really inspiring. And we even took a crew out, because I grew up in Newport. We took a crew out on a crab boat and actually did a little mini documentary on crab fishing out of Newport. And so we were able to follow the process from the boat to the cannery, which is in Newport, and then to the plate, which is Moe's Restaurant, which is Moe's was famous for their crab Louie and their crab deals. And so we were able to do a documentary on that. So I would say that if you got students that can be involved in this thing, to let their creativity go and experiment. I mean, you've got so many different kinds of media right now that they can play with. And now editing processes. When I was editing 8mm film, I literally physically had to cut the film and tape it together and, you know, hopefully hit the right frame and the right part. We weren't dealing with audio at that time with those things, but that would have been a whole nother track. But you know, they have so many opportunities available to learn that. And I say, just go for it and start creating stuff, because that's how it gets you going. I also would find internship work when I was, again, in high school. It was a time when the first portable video taping machines were coming out. And I think it was Sony that did the very first ones. And these were little teeny reel-to-reel videotapes in a little packet, a pack that you could haul around on your shoulder. And that was like a really revolutionary thing that you could carry a videotape machine around without being wired to some big box in a building somewhere. And so that was brand new. And I had an opportunity, so I took it and I interned with the school district in their communications department. So any internship I could get, I got a little part-time job at a little cable access place. A lot of little communities, you know, that have cable will have these little cable access studios that they have to do local programming with or public service announcements and that sort of thing. So taking advantage of that. And then, like I said, just getting out and creating on your own. There's so many ways that people can now do video and share it on so many different platforms that, you know, it's just a wide open. It's just wide open right now. And so go for it. You know, look for every opportunity. I would suggest that to get experience with professionals, with people who've already been there and done it. And then just keep sucking up that information and keep creating. That's, to me, just keep creating. But definitely take advantage of every opportunity that you can.
Well said. Beautiful. I do want to circle back around to Rose Festival. 17 years, got to be a few highlights in there. Got to be a few favorite memories. Any unforgettable moment that first comes to mind?
Wow. That's a darn good question. You know, I like to think of there's a lot of things that go on, just a lot of little things. We call them like Rose Festival moments. You know, we have our programming that we do. And, you know, that's the standard stuff. We have our parades, we have our city fair, all kind of standard stuff. But there's so many other things that go on around that are just so unique. Visiting with past court members, you know, who are 100 years old. It's so fascinating to meet these ladies that have been there, you know, so many years ago, and their experiences are not different than the ones this year. They just have a different environment that they're doing it in, but it's kind of fascinating. And there's times when I was, as a PR manager, I would be escorting our CEO around for press conferences and things like that. And there's, you know, when you're outdoors with TV cameras, anything can happen in the public. And one time we were setting up an interview, nice, great, beautiful shot in the park, and the CEO was out there and there were people running around. And just as we got started with an interview, some woman came by right behind him and decided that was the perfect time to go wahoo and raise up her shirt and do a little bit of, hey, look at me. And I just kind of, we just kept a straight face and just kept talking, tried not to, but the boss kind of finally figured out what we were laughing at and turned around. You know, that was just one of those weird little moments that happens when you're out there. But I mean, there's so many things going on with, you know, helping parade management every year, getting a chance to meet some of the wonderful people that come in here, seeing my old high school team come up and march in a Rose Festival parade in Portland. It was always great because when I was in high school, you know, going to Portland, Oregon was a really big thing. And, you know, us little rural citizens out here, you know, Portland was kind of a scary place for us. But as a matter of fact, my brother still won't come up to visit me in Portland. Yeah, but I'll go visit them. So I'm a nice guy. Anyway, that it's, I'll probably think of stuff as we go through the conversation. But, you know, it's all kind of crashing down on me right now is a big load of memories and things like that. But it's the people. It's the people I meet and the little exchanges that we have throughout the year. You know, whether we go out on a field trip to Bend, Oregon to announce a grand marshal, or we run up to Estacada and video some cute kid casting his line into the pond. You know, I mean, gosh, we just did so many different things. I'm sure I'll think of something. I might have to get back to you.
Oh, there's a lot to sift through there. Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite particular event or a favorite Rose Festival event that you personally like the most?
You know, my job is managing the media. And so I would have to say successfully doing that is probably my favorite thing, because I know you're on radio here, so I'm showing you a chart that is a big, you can't see it there very well, but it's a big Excel chart, and it is about my morning, the opening day morning, the opening day of Rose Festival. We get a request from the local news morning shows to send their feature reporter down to do little feature stuff at the park. Mm-hmm. This year, I've got all four TV stations coming in the morning, starting at 4:30 a.m., and they'll be there until 10 a.m. And being able to successfully book out entertainers and food vendors at all of these different times of the morning that they're going to be there, because every station has a slightly different time that they want to be on the air, and whether it's, you know, for a full interview or for a little tease or a little bumper or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think my favorite time is opening day, because this is the busiest time of my year. I'll spend a good, oh gosh, maybe 17 hours in the park, running around. I'll walk more than 10 miles. And I'll be setting up interviews all day long. And so I've got just the morning booked, and then I've got midday interviews that are requested. And then we do our big ribbon cutting at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on live TV. So it's all based on their time frame. And last year we had the ribbon cutting, and just as we snipped the ribbon, the clouds opened up and just bucketed on us big time. That started the whole festival last year. It was like that. But we had our queen standing there in a beautiful red gown, no coat, no jacket, and ready with the scissors to snip, and down came the skies. And it was, you know, those are just times you can't plan for. Those a beautiful moment.
I got to have the liquid Portland sunshine.
There we go.
In the like Rose said, Festival. It wouldn't be the same without it.
Opening day is my big day. That's the one that I remember the most. And it's interesting, because we do our fireworks on opening day. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks happens about 10 o'clock at night. I have never been able to see a fireworks show on opening day because of this schedule that I do, starting at 4:30 in the morning. By the time 7 or 8 o'clock that evening comes around, my legs just don't work anymore. They are so heavy. It's like I've been standing in the Pacific Ocean for 5 minutes. You know, it just freezes up, and I have no more control. And I'm glad to just get home and go to bed at that time.
Yeah. Well, Rich, that kind of leads me into the next question, kind of the last question I was going to ask in our interview. And again, thank you so much for taking the time. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Rich Jarvis, the media relations with Rose Festival. Rich, you're going to have a couple extra minutes of free time on your hands pretty soon. What are you going to do? Maybe start with watching that fireworks show for the first time, crabbing or do some fun stuff.
Well, I'm definitely going to go to the beach. You know, I grew up in Newport, and I miss the beach. I seriously miss it. And especially this time of the year. This time of the year is low tide season, and I'm an agate hunter. I when I'm at the beach, my head is always down digging in the sand. And we get the minus tides in March, April, May, and June. They're the best times to get minus tides. And that's when you can get out there in the surf that you've never been able to get out to before in the rock. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to just not worrying about getting up early in the morning and not worry about all these details, you know, like hanging up banners and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have a bit of a hobby. I like to restore antique toy pianos. You know, they're beautiful little boxes made back in the 19th century. And I've already done one, and I've got kind of hooked on it now, and I kind of enjoy that. And I like to restore it for the sound, not for the image of it. You know, don't paint jobs. I don't like to do paint jobs or anything, because I don't want to mess with the quality of the wood that has been aging for, you know, 100 years or something like that. That's where you get a really wonderful sound quality. I practice the piano myself, so I'm a bit of an amateur musician type wannabe, and I just said that's a fun hobby, and it takes a while, you know, patient work to do that. And my wife bought me one for my birthday recently, and so now I've got another toy piano to restore. But I like working on wood and just, you know, doing that. And we have a big garden at home too that actually requires a lot of attention. especially this time of year. So I'm just looking forward to just getting my hands dirty again, getting back out and just letting go, take a break for a year or so and kind of figure it out. But who knows, I'll probably be back at the Rose Festival in some capacity. It really sort of just doesn't get out of your blood.
Rich, I got to say, if you're into restoration of vintage pianos, there is a TED Talks is in Portland this weekend on Saturday at the Keller Auditorium. And one of the presenters does that. They restore vintage pianos and they're going to give a TED Talk about that this Saturday in Portland. TEDxPortland.com. Only reason why I know is one of our radio students, our current students, Parents has given a TED Talk in Portland before. Yeah. And KBPS students produce a little Saturday morning show we call KBPS on PRP, plays on a couple of affiliates, and I did a little story about that. So that's a little fun. And I'm also a big fan of the beach and try to make it out there every year. We usually land in Lincoln City, Newport area. I've spent many, many days out there on that dock under Yuquina Bay Bridge, crabbing.
And hey, you said it right, too. You know it. I like that.
and I'm actually this weekend, Dad and I are going to sneak down to Seaside and enjoy those low tides and some razor clamming.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's good clamming right now. Yeah.
But Rich, I want to thank you. Thank you so much on the behalf of KBPS of all the years of help and support. On the behalf of all the treasure hunters, on behalf of everyone who enjoys and treasures Rose Festival, a lot of the amazingness thanks in part to you, and so we just want to say thank you.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to you and your students because you guys serve the Rose Festival in a way that nobody else does, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful partnership for many years, well beyond my time here. I have great KBPS alumni that are partners with us too. You guys have just been marvelous. Your kids are great. I love seeing them and being able to work with them. And wonderful to have them on Zoom this time so I could actually see them working. And when they were doing it, I could feel every one of their own little angsts myself because I've done that. I've been there. I wish them all the best because you've got some great students there. So thanks for everything that Benson Radio has done for the Portland Rose Festival.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Listening to Portland Radio Project on 99.1 FM. Our mission is to elevate local artists and organizations through streaming, broadcasting, and podcasting, engaging new generations of arts lovers and community supporters. This segment brought to you by the student staff of KBPS AM 1450. As the wildfire season approaches, Oregonians must take steps to protect their homes and communities. To help residents prepare, the Oregon Office of State Fire Marshal, in partnership with Portland Fire and Rescue, is hosting Wildfire Preparedness Weekend at Forestry Center's Discovery Museum on May 20th and 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We know that wildfires can devastate our communities, said Chief Deputy Claire McGrew, Oregon State Fire Marshal. This partnership with Portland Fire and Rescue provides an important educational opportunity to help residents better prepare for wildfire season. In addition to the special programming, attendees will enjoy free admission to the museum all weekend long. World Forestry Center's Discovery Museum, located in Portland's Washington Park, immediately off the Max Red Blue Line, is a family-friendly venue that offers interactive exhibits and engaging programs focused on the most pressing issues facing forests and communities. I'm Milo for KBPS on 99.1 FM, Portland Radio Project.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the KBPS Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I will be doing the song I'm Not Here to Make Friends by Sam Smith. It was released on January 27th and produced by Calvin Harris, Stargate, Jimmy Napes, and Smith. Let's take a listen.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen in here?
You gotta ask me. Yeah, I'm going to the party. But I'm not going to make friends. I need a lover.
Everybody's looking for somebody to take home. I'm not the exception, I'm a blessing of a body to love on. If you want it bad tonight, come by me and drop a line. Put your aura into mine. Don't be scared if you like it. I could fill you up with life. I could ease your appetite. No, you've never been this high. Don't be scared if you like it.
Cause I'm not here to make friends. No, I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not here to make friends.
I need a lover.
I need a lover.
I'm just being honest, baby. I just need a partner when the lights come on.
I'm Not Here to Make Friends by Sam Smith is an assertive and confident song that embraces self-expression and independence. The lyrics convey a stronger message of knowing one's worth and refusing to conform to social expectations. The song captures desire for genuine connections and intimate relationships, emphasizing the need for a lover rather than superficial friends. Sam Smith's voice delivers a sense of conviction, empowering listeners to prioritize their own desires and seek authentic connections. The lyrics also touch on the idea of breaking away from the traditional love songs and social norms. Sam Smith expresses a longing for a partner when the lights come on, suggesting a desire for deep connections beyond fleeting moments. The repeated phrase, "I'm not here to make friend," reinforces the artist's determination to prioritize genuine love and romantic relationships. Overall, I'm Not Here to Make Friends serves as an anthem for self-assurance, encouraging listeners to embrace their desires and prioritize meaningful connections over superficiality. This is Zip from KBPS.
A little interview with our talent show winner, Kieran Nantavarnet and Cecilia Stewart. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kieran.
Hello, so,
So, how was talent show? Tell us all about it.
I actually was pretty surprised. Like, there were actually some pretty decently talented. Like, there were some talented people out there. Like, Milo, he was such a great singer. And there were some pretty decent people. And I think it was just a fun little event to have. I mean, it was the first one in a while, so I wasn't expecting so much. But I did think, I was pretty satisfied with how it went.
Mm-hmm. I would have to agree. I was definitely pleasantly surprised as well. It was, I remember sitting actually next to Kieran before dancing. He danced before me. And it was, it was pretty cool. I liked watching you dance.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us more about your acts? What did you do?
Well, as my last year as a senior, my dance company always has the senior do like a senior specialty, and mine was a solo. And I decided to use my solo for the talent show. And I did this with one of my choreographers, and this isn't the first time I've really done my solo. I've also done it at one of our recitals and our upcoming recital. And it just means a lot to me for dancing. So I felt like this solo was just kind of like a piece of resistance, kind of like a goodbye to my youthful days, I guess.
And Clyde, what was your act?
I also danced, but it was more so just I really liked dancing, and I thought that it would be cool to have the opportunity to do it in front of people. I mean, you never really get that many opportunities to actually have an audience to perform to, and I wanted to have an experience like that, and I'm happy that I did.
Who do you think had the better act?
Kieran, definitely.
I think yours was really cool though. Like,
yeah,
you were moving, and it was really upbeat and made me smile.
I'm not denying that I'm not saying that my act was bad, but yours was better.
I mean, I had like zero practice and
zero practice.
Aren't you a professional dancer?
Not professional, pre-professional. Okay.
Your mom
difference?
Owns That's the studio you dance at.
My mom actually owns the gymnastics part. She doesn't own the dance part. So there's a difference, actually.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You have more experience than me.
Are you going to debate that?
No, you're right. I guess I do have a bit of experience.
Okay, mm-hmm. What was the rehearsal process like for talent show?
It was like there were tryouts, sort of, that were like spread weeks apart. And it was a little strange. I remember going to one and just sort of, I went with Gio and I just sort of danced on the stage, and then Gio, you know, played the piano and sang his song. But it was like a little, just like a little strange. I don't know.
How do you think the, like, it was like did Jacob do a good job leading talent show?
I feel like he did a pretty good job. There's definitely, like you said also, that there are some things that, like, it's like a learning experience. There are definitely some things that could be different, and with all things considered, it went pretty good. I think that it was as organized as it could be with the time and sort of like, because it was after school, and I feel like talent shows in the past were like during school.
Yeah.
He was very enthusiastic, and I guess it was really cool to, you know, have a little, you know, he was cheering us on and everything, and I mean, it was really laid back, so it wasn't super duper stressful or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say. So, both of you are seniors now, so you're not going to be here next year. But if you were going to be here next year, say you were juniors or something, do you think you'd participate in the talent show again?
I'd say so. I mean, it's just a fun thing to do. There wasn't, like, too many people there, so it wasn't, like, super, like, nerve-wracking. It was still kind of, like, I was a bit nervous, but I think it's a fun little experience, and I'm sure next year will be more...
put together?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if I was a junior, I would do it again, but I think that I'd want to do it with another person, like, make a dance with somebody. I think that'd be cool.
Okay, great. Well, our time is almost up. Do you guys have any closing remarks?
It was fun.
Yeah, I think it was cool.
Hello, this is Ariana, and I'm here with
Oscar B.
and Oscar C.
Today, we're going to be talking about our experiences at prom from KBPS on PRP.
So, prom basically was a crazy lit movie, right, Oscar?
Yeah, definitely. Those are the three words to describe it.
But I mean, hanging out with friends, the music, the food. I know it was still like super hot, but we went inside a building and there was some AC. We cooled down for a bit and went out, and they started, I think, setting up the pictures, like for prom pictures.
Some photo booths. There was beverages. There was a couple beverages inside, a few like... party snacks, and it was really cool. They had two different photo ops that you could get. One that was a digital photo that you could have texted, emailed, or sent to you via your phone or computer. And then they also had one that could print up to 6 photos at once and fit about 4 or 5 people in the frame. But, you know, sometimes we got a little more people. We also... there was a stage out in the front with a DJ on it. Some people were getting on the stage dancing. There was a small little lounge area where people could sit down, a few tables and people where people could sit and chat with each other and stuff too.
Yeah, and there was like 3 different rooms, like how you mentioned, the photo room, and then there was like where you can go and like take off your coat and you could vote for the court. And then the second room was just like the little food stands and all that.
Mm-hmm. The lemonade was the best part. I really liked it.
Yeah.
The ice, oh my God. And a hot day, drinking that lemonade. I mean, there was some few people that had good outfits as well. Especially Solomon. Shout out Solomon with the Ricks on.
Shout out Yosef with the Air Maxes on. And shout out Biniam with the jeans on. Those were the best fits there.
It's nice to see some of my friends also hanging out. I think as well, Jacob too was getting, you know, a little lit there. There's dancing.
Yeah, definitely.
Hanging out, you know, glow sticks and all these, you know. Playing bangers, you know. They played Lil Uzi. They played Trippy. Who else they played?
They played SZA.
Cardi.
They played Cardi, and they played Peso Pluma.
And you can't forget about Bad Bunny.
Yeah, that's
Bad Bunny.
But I mean, the food there was kind of mid. I only ate brownies. I didn't really eat anything else. But yeah, I mean, after prom, it was just, you know, I was happy at the end, you know, just being able to dance and, you know, people dancing. I was not really a dancer, but I just kept, like, having conversations, having fun. I think we mainly spent time in the photo booths. But, I mean, yeah, me and Ariana took some good pictures. Me, Oscar C, Redding, we all were just, you know.
Gideon.
Gideon, too. The Gideon, shout out Gideon.
Yeah, shout out Gideon.
That's our homie. But, I mean, any advice to any of the seniors that are coming up or the juniors that are going to become seniors, make sure you got a good outfit too. Like, make sure it's breathable.
Yeah.
It's, you know, make sure you got the shoes to match it with, if you even get like sneakers like that. Or I'm more of like a person that wears sneakers with a suit, because I don't know, dress shoes are just weird to me. But I mean, you can wear whatever you want. But make sure it's breathable. It's good. You're good looking. But yeah, that's my advice to y'all. What about you, Ariana?
I feel like how you said it, that they should wear stuff that is breathable, and, you know, just check on the weather, you know, like if it's hot or if it's cold, you know, wear like a cute jacket, or not like a jacket but like a cardigan, and just have fun. Like, don't even think about anyone else around you, like, just have fun.
Yeah, don't pull up in a like a plaid shirt, jeans, and with some checkered Vans on and a sophomore by your side, you know. That's the one thing we don't want people pulling up with. A few people there, not going to say any names, but did that. And I would say, you know, as a thing for the upcoming juniors to say to them, if I could have one thing, it would be if you guys are going to come, make sure you show up and show out.
Yeah, but anything else you guys want to add?
No. This has been Oscar C.
And Ariana.
Oscar B.
From KBPS on PRP.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Tristan Friander here with the KBPS student staff, and I am interviewing
Makai DE. Hi.
I want to talk to you about that candy that's being produced from Benson itself. What can you tell me?
In chemistry for, I believe, second year high schoolers in Mr. Fraser, we're making candy for the end of the year, just a casual assignment, just something to really wrap together, like units and stuff. I made marzipan, almond paste, basically.
Oh, okay, okay. What can you tell me about this,
Marzipan. Well, if I'm honest, I had a few hiccups in the making of it. I accidentally wrote down just straight almonds instead of almond flour when making it, so I had to hand grind the almonds. It was terrifying and very, very loud. Otherwise, it's turned out alright. It's just a vaguely sweet almond paste. I added a bit of, like, rose flavoring to it.
Oh, that's nice. I actually did the same thing. We were supposed to make Reese's peanut butter cups, but my teammate didn't get the peanut butter filling, so my teammate didn't show up at all, so I just made chocolate by myself.
Oh.
But someone in that class made, like, these, like, what do they call those? Gummies? But didn't make them right. They were, like, eating rubber tires. It was hilarious.
Yeah, a lot of people have been trying to make gummies and just not. It just hasn't been turning out well at all.
Yeah. We're just kids. We haven't fully got that experience out of baking.
And anyway, it's supposed to be a fun assignment, not anything truly serious.
Yeah. What experiences did you see in there when they were making candy?
A lot of people were having a very interesting time with, like, flavorings. Some people didn't really understand that one drop really is enough with that, because they're very condensed. Advice, don't attempt to test the flavors by just putting a drop on a spoon. That did not turn out well, especially with
vanilla flavoring. Vanilla tastes disgusting if you don't mess it with something else.
Yep.
All right, well, that is everything. Thank you so much for this interview. I am Chelsea Friander here with
Makai DE, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, signing off for the KBPS student staff.
This is Josiah Wester on PRP with the KBPS Hour, and I am here with Jacob, our radio teacher and amazing person.
Hey, Josiah, good morning. Great to be with you, and I am so excited about what you have in this studio for us and what you're about to talk about. This is really cool.
For everybody who's listening right now, over the last week, I made some ice cream from the 1700s, like a recipe from the 1700s, and it is awesome. It's Parmesan ice cream, which sounds really gross, but I swear to you on my life, it is actually pretty, it's got an interesting flavor. It's interesting.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a live taste test right here on the radio, on the KBPS on PRP show.
Oh, yeah.
But before we bust out this ice cream and have a bite and do a live taste test on the radio, Josiah, I want you to talk about, kind of fill in the backstory a little bit. Talk about, I love the fact that you love history. You're a history buff.
Oh, yeah.
And where did you find this recipe from the 1700s?
I had found this interesting YouTube channel, which I had never seen before, called Tasting History. And they had a video on Parmesan ice cream. And at first I thought it was a little bit gross, but then I watched the video and it goes into the whole like backstory behind ice cream. So they talk about how it's like from China, but actually really from Persia, which spread into Italy and then into France. And that's where we get this ice cream from. And like where, how to actually make it. They actually say the recipe and it was amazing.
So you made this yourself?
Yes.
From scratch?
Yes.
Okay. Can you describe the making process a little bit, or like what ingredients are involved and how hard is this to make?
This is actually like pretty easy. If you want the amounts for the ingredients, you can actually look up the YouTube video itself. But it was like 6 medium eggs, simple syrup, Parmesan, of course, and then heavy whipping cream. And I think that's everything, actually.
I wonder what they would have used for simple syrup in the 1700s.
It would probably just be water and like sugar mixed together.
Sure, sure.
But originally, actually, this is one of the cooler things I found out. The original name of ice cream was fromage de glace, which meant the cheese of ice, because they were making ice cream in cheese containers. So I thought that was super cool. And also this could have been like a mistranslation of that.
Okay. And so, and this is Parmesan flavor?
Yeah. Not, it doesn't actually really taste like Parmesan too much, but it does have Parmesan in it.
Okay. Interesting. And so you've made this yourself, and have you tried it?
Yes.
Well, what's your thoughts on how it tastes?
I thought it tasted pretty good. We ate most of the container. This is what's left of everything, which for everyone listening, it's not a whole lot. It's like a small Tupperware container. And it's actually really, really good with chocolate, in my opinion.
Now, has anybody else tried it? Have you shared it with friends, classmates?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the consensus from your friends?
Most of them are saying it's pretty good, except for one person who said they prefer mint and chocolate ice cream.
Well, you know, it's tough to please everybody all the time. So so shall we crack this open and try a bite?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So now is this all for me? Am I going to share this with you, or what are we going to do here?
Whatever you want to do. You can eat all of it if you want, or you could just like have a little bit. I really don't need to bring all of it home at this point, because it's been out in the open a little bit more. And also because it's homemade, it's a bit more of like a custard.
Yeah.
So it'll still taste good, and it's still like ice cream, but it's hard to smell like anything from it, isn't it?
Yeah, so for our listeners who can't see what I'm doing, I've opened up the container, and there's about 4 or 5 big spoonfuls here. And I'm just doing a quick smell test. It doesn't, I don't detect any smell.
Yeah, there's not really like a scent in it.
It's, and like you say, Josiah, it is starting to melt just a touch, but that's okay. It's got the consistency of a custard.
Yeah.
And it looks just like vanilla ice cream to me, or maybe even a hint of like a yellow, like a Parmesan cheese colored ice cream is what it looks like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like. And all right. Here's a moment of truth.
All right. It's quite a bit creamier than normal ice cream, because there's no like preservatives in it like normal ice cream has today.
Wow.
It's a weird flavor.
It is. It's good, but yeah, it's not what you expect.
Not at all.
It catches you off guard. I gotta get another bite.
It's got like a weird aftertaste too. That was another thing I noticed, is like, I don't know how to describe it.
I'm trying to think of something that this tastes like. It is very unique.
Yeah.
It is very unique. So it's delicious.
Oh yeah.
It's almost like a custard or a like a Greek yogurt texture.
Mm.
It's delicious. It's got a great flavor. But I have to admit, I don't think I've ever tasted anything like this before.
Yeah. It was kind of like an interesting experience. I also have like never, but then again, I don't eat that many like foods from other places. But it was, I loved making it, and it was one of the coolest things researching it too.
It does not taste like Parmesan cheese.
Not at all.
So if you're listening to this and going, oh, there's no way I'm going to try that and make that. I don't want cheese, Parmesan cheese ice cream. It doesn't taste like Parmesan cheese at all. It tastes like a cream flavored ice cream.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's like, it almost tastes like whipped cream with just like a little zip to it. But I can't. It's delicious.
Yeah,
it's good. Josiah, this is delicious, man.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put like a finger on like what exactly you're tasting. The person who actually made the video where I got the recipe from, he was even surprised. He was like, honestly, if you were to give me this ice cream and not tell me there's Parmesan in it, I probably wouldn't have even guessed that it was made with Parmesan. And I know that I gave it to one of the other teachers at the school, Miss Sombrano, and she said it was like a what is it? I don't even remember. It was a different kind of cheese though. She was like, it kind of tastes like this, and I don't know.
I would say again for our listeners, it's absolutely delicious. If
yes.
you are listening to this and you're intrigued or interested, try it. Remind folks again, Josiah, one more time, what the video was called or what they should Google to look for this again.
If you go to YouTube, you should be able to just search up Parmesan ice cream, and then there's a video by Internet Historian, and that's it. They give you the recipe straight from the beginning, really.
And this recipe comes from the 1700s.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That is 300 years ago, the taste of ice cream, right? That's kind of like what we have here.
I love it. Well done, Josiah. Great work. Thank you for letting me try this and having a little fun on PRP.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. This has been KBPS 1450 on the PRP Hour. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Hello, you are attuned to KBPS on PRP, and I've got some fun facts that I'd love to tell you about. Did you know that it is impossible for most people to lick their own elbow? I wouldn't know. I'm a frog, so I can't really move my tongue out. And a crocodile cannot stick his tongue out. Speaking of not being able to stick your tongue out, I'm a Muppet, so I'm not able to do that. A shrimp's heart is in its head. That's pretty weird, man. I don't know about that. I'm glad I'm not a shrimp. And it's also physically impossible for pigs to look up in the sky. I don't know why they'd be able to look down but not be able to look up. I don't know. You should look that up. This has been Kermit the Frog on KBPS on PRP. Have a good day.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.